Well, today we come to another of those great life-changing lessons on prayer. And this one I really love to talk about. It is this realization that God wants to say yes to you when you ask Him something. It matters that God wants to say yes. If you're trying to escape, for example, from a burning building or from an abductor, or if you were at the beach and one of those riptides was carrying you away, wouldn't it make you feel different to know that somebody was fighting through all the obstacles to get to you? It makes all the difference. You might remember, if you're old enough, back in 1982, January, Flight 90 Air Florida crashed into the river in Washington, D.C. Do you remember the plane's wings became too filled with ice? It stalled. They crashed into the river. And the water was so cold. That was a bitterly cold winter in our area, Washington, D.C. in particular. Bitterly cold. And there is actually ice that had formed on the river. So when the plane crashed into the river, the survivors, and there were only six, the survivors had to deal with 33-degree water. And you can only live at that temperature for about half an hour, and then your body shuts down. It took 21 minutes for the park police helicopter to show up. And so these people were in big trouble. For one thing, they're in big trouble because of their injuries. But now, because of hypothermia, they're in big trouble. And Kelly Duncan, the flight attendant who survived, she had a broken wrist and a broken ankle. And she said when she heard the helicopter coming, because she honestly was losing hope and thought they were going to die out there, she said, "I have never heard such a beautiful thing as the day that I heard that helicopter," because they could hear it before they could see it. And to know that a helicopter was coming, like, we might just pull this off. And then one man who had 67 bone fractures, his face, his arms, all the fingers in his left hand, both legs, one leg shattered. He said, when he heard the helicopter, "I suddenly felt the hope of the helicopter." And then the park police helicopter came into view, and the relief I felt at that point was unimaginable. And as he's saying it, he's getting like kind of choked up, you know. Well, when you pray, that's what's happening. The helicopter is on its way. And you don't know exactly how the Lord is going to work things out, but it matters a lot, that the Lord is coming. The Lord is listening to your prayer, and He's sending help. And if you just know that, your attitude toward prayer is going to be so different than if you think, God's not going to do something. You have to know He's going to do something. And today, I want to prove that to you in Scripture, because God is on the way. We have looked at this text several times over the last few weeks because I love it so much and it has so much to say on this subject. Today, looking at a few different nuances. First of all, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Now, there are so many wonderful things in that text, and we're going to come back to those in just a minute. But let's start now by reminding ourselves of two really, really important points. The first one, God always wants to say yes to His children when they ask Him something. He wants to say yes. How do we know that? Well, we'll see. And secondly, how does God's desire to say yes to me affect me when I pray? How does it affect me emotionally? And how does it affect my circumstances? I mean, if this is so, then we're dealing with a lot of big concepts in prayer. And it is so. All right. So does God want to say yes to me? We have to establish that. And we have lots of Bible verses on that subject. So we know, we are quite sure, we're not guessing about this. We know that God wants to say yes to His children when they pray. So we start out with Psalm chapter 2, for example. We've looked at this in past weeks, but again, checking out a little different nuance on this text. This is God the Father speaking to God the Son. And in this regard, we've said that the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is so functioning that prayer would exist even if human beings never did. This is God the Father telling God the Son, ask me. And that's what prayer is, asking and receiving. Ask me, and I will give. That's God the Father to God the Son. And remember, we like to point out that this is a little bit surprising, because why should God the Son have to ask anybody for anything? He is, after all, omnipotent. He can do it all by himself. So why would there ever be asking and receiving in the Trinity? And the answer is because they like it that way. They like it that way because God the Father loves to give. And so God the Son loves to have the Father give him love. So God the Son says to God the Father, will you give? And God the Father loves to show love, so he gives. And then God the Son says, oh, Father, that's so wonderful. And so God the Son loves God the Father for the gift. And God the Father loves God the Son in giving the gift. And around we go. That is the essence of prayer. That's what we're doing, this wonderful prayer cycle of giving and receiving. God, would you do this for me as your child? And God loves to say, yes, that's how my mind works. That's exactly what I wanted. And so God gives us something nice. And we say, well, thank you, Lord, you're so wonderful. And I just love you more now than I did before. And that love goes back to God the Father, and that's what he loves. What we're saying here is prayer is God's idea. The whole giving and receiving thing, it's what he wants. We didn't start this. He did. In our text this morning, Matthew 7:11, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask? We know, and Jesus' point is, an earthly father likes to give good things to his son, to his daughter. So won't your heavenly father be more like that than your earthly father? And if you've had good parenting, if you are a good parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's actually pressure on a parent to give the right gift. My poor wife shops for all of our grandkids' birthday presents and kids. And I mean, she's worried about it. I was like, what if this gift is a dud? It really bothers her to think that this might be a dud. Well, Jesus said, if you, Teresa, being evil, she's evil, and she wants to give good gifts. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask? So we don't even scratch the surface when it comes to God's love. He wants to say yes. You want to say yes, and he's much better than we are. Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is his delight. Like, oh, he probably doesn't want to hear me again. No, he really does. And you know, it's important. We talked before that it is really only the prayers of the obedient that amount to much. But if you're an upright person, if you're an obedient person, when you talk to the Lord, he thinks that's delightful. They're like, no, I'm not tired of hearing from you. What do you want? You know, talk to me. What's on your mind? And that's just delightful. Matthew 6:6 again. We always get stuck on the last word of this phrase. Pray in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you, the last word, openly. Well, I cut out the word openly so you could see the gist of this. Pray, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you. Really? I mean, what if I prayed 10 times a day? Well, then he would reward me 10 times a day. What if it was 30 times a day? Well, then he'd reward you 30 times. Well, I mean, what if I just prayed like 150 times a day? Well, then he would reward you. Say, are you sure about that? Well, I have a verse sitting right here that says, pray, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you. What word there could I be misconstruing if I say, if you pray, there will be a reward? If you pray 10 times, there will be more reward. If you pray 110 times, more. If you pray, there will be a reward. One-to-one correspondence, right? How could we be wrong? Revelation 5:8. Here's where you see how actually this prayer is really, really important to God. It's like your worship. So the four creatures, Revelation 5:8. And 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one of them having harps and golden vials full of fragrances. That's the censer, which has incense in it and hot coals. We do that all the time to make our houses smell better, right? And so these are actually, in the book of Revelation, these are the prayers of the saints. Well, the incense is worship. It is a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. And the incense is your prayer. So it's not like God says, well, I'm kind of tired of talking to you about this. No, your prayer is your worship. It's like heavenly, intense worship. Same thing in Revelation 8:3. Another angel came, stood at the altar of incense in heaven, having a golden censer, coals, incense inside, like potpourri burning. And there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with what? With the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So God is the one who got this whole thing going. God wants you to pray. He loves it. It is His delight. And He wants to say yes. And He wants to reward you for doing it. That's just how it is. 1 Corinthians 3:5. Remember we talked about Solomon some weeks back. And the Lord appears to Solomon with this great question from the Old Testament. Ask, what shall I give you? What do you want? And Solomon said, well, I really want wisdom so that I don't mess up this whole king gig. And so the Lord says, I'm going to give you wisdom. And not only that, I like you so much, I'm going to give you a long life. And not only that, I'm going to give you lots of money as well. And so the Lord started this. He says, ask. What do you want? He wouldn't have done that unless he wanted to say yes. And of course, he did say yes in that case, right? Secondly, we know that God wants to say yes to us because God simply cannot. I mean, what I mean here is, it is impossible. It is impossible for God to resist His own Holy Spirit who intercedes for you in your prayers. So do you understand? I don't mean that it would be inconvenient for God. I truly mean it is impossible. Like if the Father is not emotionally touched by the intercession of the Holy Spirit, that is impossible. It would be like the whole universe has to disintegrate. The Holy Spirit of God has to have an emotional connection with God the Father. If that did not happen, the world disintegrates. There is no world, there's no universe, there's no God, it's all gone. It's impossible. It cannot be done. So Romans 8:26, the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So your prayer is not exactly just your prayer. Your prayer is being delivered by the Holy Spirit of God. It is being carried along by God. So, you know, connecting this, God is carrying your prayers to God, and He's doing it emotionally. With groaning. I mean, that's extraordinary. The same idea is hinted at in passing in that short book of Jude, verse 20. Beloved, building up your faiths, yourselves, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There it is, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's not a particular kind of prayer, except that it's an obedient prayer. And it's the Holy Spirit carrying your prayer to God the Father. So, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Just keep praying. You're doing the right thing. And so God does want to say yes to you. We also know God wants you to pray, and He wants to say yes when you pray because He honestly feels sorry for you. God honestly feels sorry for you. You and I are objects of pity to our God. Which is so important. Like as a father pities his children, so our God pities them that fear Him and pities those who pray. And so once again in Hebrews 4:15, notice this is emotional. And now we've already mentioned God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is God the Son we're speaking about right now. We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you see what that is? Touched with the feeling, like, I guess when I pray, the Lord doesn't care. He's got a cold heart toward me. I guess it doesn't matter. Well, in that, you'd be guessing wrong. Because if you are a believer, you have a high priest, God the Son, the Lord Jesus, and he is touched with the feeling of your weakness. God has feelings for you. And that is going to factor in. Because he has feelings for you, then let us pray. Let us come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace. Because he really feels very sorry for you. Romans 8:26 again. The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings. It wouldn't say groanings if God did not feel sorry for you. So the Lord is really on your side with this. You think, you know, he doesn't sympathize. We are not simpatico. Yeah, you are. He feels very sorry for you. And we know that God wants to say yes to you. Otherwise, God would never have made such outsized promises concerning prayer if he didn't want to say yes to your prayer. I mean, the Lord has kind of boxed himself in here. If he didn't want to say yes, then he should not have said these things. For example, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. And all things, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It sounds like he wants to say yes, right? And whatever you shall ask in my name, I'll do that. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do that. John 15:16. Whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it. 16:23. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you, so ask, and you shall receive. James 5:15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do what is pleasing in his sight. That's God wanting to say yes over and over again. Ask me, and I'll do it. Ask the Father, and he'll do it. Ask, and you'll receive. Knock, I'll open it. Can you see the fine print? You're not supposed to. Once again, as is my custom, I want to overwhelm you with truth. These are my 52 favorite answers to prayer. That's one for every week of the year. And I love all these. I already told you about the hot water bottle. I'm not going to talk about that today. The falling tree bridge. I mean, it's brief. I'll tell you that one. So the missionary in South America is trying to cross the stream. The bridge got overwhelmed by the high water, knocked the bridge down. But it's really important that he goes. And so he prays. The bridge is gone. Lord, please let me visit this tribe. They need me. All of a sudden, tree fell down. He walked across the tree and visited the tribe. There's the horse that stopped at the well after traveling 200 miles. I'm not going to tell you that today, but I love that story. There's the horse that stopped at the parsonage. I told you that one a few weeks ago. There's the wagon wheel that broke near the orphanage so that George Mueller's orphans could have milk. Bananas given in the prison camp. That's Darlene Rose. What a great story. She desperately wanted those bananas, and she was dying without them. And she got her bananas. Bread for the orphans, that's another day. Mother's prayer of relinquishment, I told you that one a few weeks ago. The sewing machine prayer, I told you that a few weeks ago. John G. Patton's well. He's on the island in the South Seas near Australia. I mean, he's with headhunters. They always tried to kill him, but then they stopped, so that was nice. And then he wanted to dig a well because they could only catch the rainwater. But the thing is, you're on an island. Islands are surrounded by salt water. There's like no water table. But he wanted to dig a well. And all the natives just shook their heads. Poor Missy, they call them short for missionary. Poor Missy, he thinks that rain comes from the ground. And they wouldn't help him dig. He dug and dug all by himself for days. And sure enough, after a while, the sand is moist. Hey, I think we're getting it. Pretty soon, puddle, fresh water on the island. He took a cup, let the chief taste it. He said, yep, it tastes like rainwater. And Then they had a for real well, and the chief says, I would like to say something at your next Sunday service. The chief stands up and says, we've been wrong about so many things, and I am going to follow the missionary's God. The whole tribe converts. Years later, they decide, well, what we should do here is we should dig more wells on this island. There was never another place found on the island that had fresh water. That was the one place. His first guess, God help me. Well, we could talk about others, but let's change the slide. What about Dr. Charles Ryrie's friend? I love that story. So, you know, Dr. Ryrie is not given to sensationalism. Do you know who Leonard Nimoy is? Do you know the role he played on Star Trek, like no emotions? That's Dr. Ryrie. I didn't ever have him in seminary, but they say boring. He is just a boring guy, and he doesn't make things interesting. Now, he's a wonderful Bible scholar, best of the best, and I idolize him. But you have to understand, he doesn't just say things to get a rise out of people, because he never does get a rise out of people. So he's talking to his missionary friend, whom he trusts. And his missionary says, I have to tell you what happened to me. Well, what happened to you? He said, well, I'm back in the States, and I have to go to a meeting that's far away, and I'm driving late into the night. And the trouble is, I'm just so tired, and I'm trying to fall asleep at the wheel. And so I thought, well, Lord, send me somebody, a hitchhiker or somebody I can pick up to help keep me awake. I mean, this just isn't safe. It's raining outside, a nasty night, and sure enough, there's a hitchhiker, and he doesn't usually pick up hitchhikers, but he just needs somebody, and so he picked up this hitchhiker. Sure enough, the hitchhiker is a believer, and a missionary says, well, do you know such and such a Christian? He said, yeah, I know that guy, and they're talking about that Christian. You know this guy? Yeah, I know that guy, too. Having this wonderful talk, and then the hitchhiker says, well, this is as far as I'm going, and it's there's a little diner there. And so Dr. Ryrie's friend says, well, at least you have to let me buy you a cup of coffee a nasty night like this. And so he says, okay, well, you can buy me coffee. And so they go into the little diner, and he orders the coffee. And when they're done, he gets in the car, and he leaves. He said, you know what's so awful? I didn't even get that guy's full name. This was so nice. It was such a nice answer to prayer. And so he spins around. He goes back to the diner, and the guy's gone. He doesn't know where he is, so he goes up to the counter, and he says, did you see which direction the man that was with me went when we left? And he says, I really don't know what you're talking about. You're here by yourself. And he says to Ryrie's friend, the missionary, he says, I thought it was strange that you ordered two cups of coffee and the other cup is still sitting right there. I just thought you were talking to yourself. And then the missionary tells Dr. Ryrie, he said, and you know what else is weird? It didn't even occur to me. When the guy got in my car, he was standing in the rain. He wasn't even wet. Chrissy's prayer meeting. What a great story. Jim Cimbala, New York City, big church, Brooklyn Tabernacle, well known for its choir. But when Chrissy got to be 16 years old, she wasn't having it from mom and dad and church and God. And she ran away at 16 and went to live with her boyfriend. Of course, it's just heartbreaking. And Jim really didn't feel freedom to, blab all about her problems in life. And so he and his wife prayed by themselves a lot for Chrissy. And they have these prayer meetings on Tuesday nights at Brooklyn Tabernacle. And everybody breaks into small groups in the large room, and they pray about whatever's going on in their lives. And one young woman slipped Pastor Cimbala a note, and she just said, I think that we should all, 1,700 of us, I think we should all pray for Chrissy today. And so Jim thought, okay, well, maybe that's right. So he stood up in front of everybody, and he says, the truth is, Chrissy's in a bad way. She thinks that down is up, and she just doesn't know. And so 1,700 people, all leaning over to the people next to them, start to pray. But it's not exactly just like a normal prayer meeting. They said what it sounded like was a labor and delivery room, because besides the words that were being prayed, people were just saying like that. 1,700 people doing that. And so that's Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night they have prayer meeting. Nothing really happened on Wednesday. On Thursday morning, Jim is upstairs shaving, and his wife comes and says, "Chrissy's here, and she wants to talk to you." So Jim goes down the stairs, and he says, "Chrissy?" And she just dropped to the floor, and she's weeping, and she said, "I'm so sorry, Daddy. I've done wrong against God, against you, against Mommy, and I'm just so sorry." So they hug, and there are these tears for a little while. And then Chrissy says, "Who was praying for me on Tuesday night?" She said, "I had this thought that I was dropping into an abyss with my life. And then it was like Jesus came and just gathered me into his arms, and he didn't let me fall any further. Who was praying for me?" Of course, everybody. Just a short story. Spurgeon is reading along in his daily Bible study one morning. And it's no big deal. He's in the book of Joel. I mean, how much fun can Joel be, right? Hard-charging prophet, you know, the locusts are going to come and devour everything. It's going to be really bad, and repent and all those things. Of course, then you have whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Joel has his moments. But at the opening of chapter 3, the Lord is saying, "Well, I'm going to bring back all the people who have been captives, who've been treated so badly by their enemies." And the Jewish people had it so bad, Joel says, that those wicked enemies took the boys and girls captive, and they sold the girl for the price of wine. So in other words, you can have this servant girl, and sometimes abuses that go with that, if you give me a bottle of wine. And the Lord is very angry about that, and he says, "And I'm going to punish the enemies of Israel for doing that." And the thought occurs, I mean, just an outside thought, I mean, who would think this, but it happened. Spurgeon said, "As I think about that, I can't really remember any other time in the King James Version of the Bible when the word girl comes up." I mean, they're usually called maidens and things like that. So I wonder how many times the word girl occurs in Scripture. So just out of curiosity, he does a concordance search, and he was astonished to find out that the word girl occurs in the King James Bible exactly one time. That's right where he was, Joel 3:3. All right, so now we know. A couple hours later, he decides to go for a walk, as he often does. He's walking by the house of this well-known atheist. This atheist hates everything to do with God and hates all the people of God. And he prays and says, "Lord, here we go." He knocks on the door. Atheist comes to the door and says, you know, gruffly, "What do you want?" Spurgeon says, "Well, I just want to tell you the gospel." And the atheist decides he wants to humiliate Spurgeon by asking him a Bible trivia question that he, the atheist, knows that Spurgeon doesn't know. So, being a wise guy, the atheist says, "Do you even know how many times the word girl is mentioned in Scripture?" Spurgeon said, "One." He says, "If you tell me where it is, I'll let you in." Joel 3:3. And as Spurgeon is approaching to enter, he says, "I have to ask you, how did you know it?" He said, "This very day, 2 hours ago, I found that out. And neither man could deny that the Lord was in that." And so he became a Christian that day. God wants to say yes to you. He does want to. Yeah, so in Africa, David Arnold and his sister are just kids. Mom is dying of typhoid fever. They've done everything they know to do, and she's dying. She's so close to death that the other missionaries are talking one evening, and they say, "What should we do with the kids? when the mom dies because dad's out of town. So when mom dies, you know, what do we do here? Well, David and his sister are listening to that. Obviously, they're alarmed. So when nobody else is around, they sneak into mom's room and they pray for her to get better. So the next morning, she's better. Just like that. Kids. I mean, what do kids know? They can't pray, right? David answers to prayer. God would never have made such outsized promises concerning prayer if he didn't want to say yes. He obviously wants to say yes. And that's why Matthew 7, 8 is so important. Again, we started out with this text, and there are so many nuances to that one paragraph when Jesus was teaching, like layer upon layer. And here's one of those layers. Jesus said, well, everyone who asks receives. Well, I wouldn't have said it that way if I wasn't paying attention to Scripture. I would have said, so often the people who ask for something get something. But he doesn't say so often. He says every time. Everyone who asks receives. So at least they're going to receive something nice. And I'll elaborate on that in just a moment. But the Lord has sort of boxed himself in here. Everybody who asks receives. Say, well, I was asking for something that didn't come. Yes, well, let's say it this way. Everybody who asks receives something very nice. So it might not be precisely what you want, when you want, the way you wanted it. But the Lord has boxed himself in. He can't really get away from this. Everyone who asks receives. And we understand from other texts of Scripture, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, perhaps that's supernatural peace. Be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. So maybe that's what you're going to get. Well, that's something very nice. I mean, most of us would really want peace of mind, right? 2 Corinthians 12, 8-9, maybe we're talking about supernatural strength. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I'm sick. I am not feeling good. And so I asked the Lord three times, take this away. But instead he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. So he gave me supernatural strength instead of answering that prayer. But everyone who asks receives. Everyone. They're going to receive something nice. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, which we looked at moments ago, because he is feeling our infirmities, touched with the feeling, then let us come boldly to the throne of grace and ask, because we will definitely obtain mercy and find grace to help. I mean, everybody obtains mercy and finds grace to help. You might not get exactly what you want, when you want it, the way you want it, but everybody obtains mercy and finds grace if they come. So everybody gets something nice. And so then we say, well, how does this affect me? If I grant you that the Scripture guarantees that God wants to say yes to me when I pray, then how does this affect me? Well, it affects me emotionally and it affects my circumstances. You can't go around imagining that God isn't caring for you just because you're not getting exactly what you want, when you want it, in the way you want it. Stop doing that. See, I'm so discouraged with prayer because the Lord isn't answering. I am absolutely sure that the Lord is answering. Everyone who asks receives something nice. So I know that the Lord is answering. Maybe not just precisely how you want it. But you can't run around saying the Lord doesn't care, the Lord doesn't love me, the Lord's not touched with the feeling of my infirmity. You can't do that because you've just seen that God the Father is eager to give good gifts more than Teresa is eager to give gifts to her grandchildren. And God the Son is touched with the feeling of your infirmity. He honestly feels sorry for you. And God the Holy Spirit is groaning, carrying your prayers to the Father, personally delivering your prayers to the Father. So quit saying, well, God doesn't love me, God doesn't care, God's not listening. Don't think that. That's not right. You have to stop. Oh, and I was supposed to mention this too. As long as everyone, even you, we'll be getting something nice from God, then don't run around saying, well, he's not answering, he doesn't love me, he doesn't care. You're getting something nice, whether you realize it or not, just now. And you think, okay, so let me sort through some of these things we've talked about in the last few weeks. So, do I understand right that God wants to say yes to my request? And I want him to say yes to my request. So it sounds to me like we have a pretty perfect plan here. Why is it not happening that I'm not getting what I requested just the way I want it at the time I want it? Why is it happening? Well, ask yourself this. Am I asking God to stop chastening me so I can be wayward? Lord, quit doing things to me because I want to stay wayward. I mean, you can't expect God to answer that prayer, right? You don't want him to, not in your heart of hearts. So take away this pain. You know, the child's, you're going to lose your privileges, no video games. Ah. The Lord says, all right, you're wayward. I'm going to take away your privileges. Well, take it away. Why? So you can be wayward some more? You want God to answer that prayer? You don't want God to answer that prayer. Are you asking God to cease your pruning so you can be a weakling? Lord, stop putting me through hard times because I just want to be a baby. I want to be weak. I want to be withered. And you know, God would be so mean to answer a prayer like that. No, I'm not going to take away your pruning so you can be a weakling. You know, Mom, Dad, please don't make me do my homework because I just want to be a dunce. Like, no, do your homework. I'm not going to let you be a dunce. Stop it. Are you asking God to take away your big chance to shine for him and receive his special affection? So I've been through buds. I'm a Navy SEAL. Look, there's a real war. Oh, somebody is captured. I need to go get him. I don't want to. I want to go home. Lord, don't make me go get that guy. Like, what? This is your chance to shine. What do you think all this training is for? Go and get the guy. I just don't want to. You want God to answer that prayer? I mean, you're this close to being a hero. You're outfitted to be a hero. On the subject of love, here's your chance to really show love. I will swim the widest sea. I will climb the highest mountain because I love you, Lord. All right, well, then what I want you to do, I want you to go through this horrific pain, and I want you to shout to the world, if God kills me, I will still trust him. Because while he may hurt me, he will never harm me. And you hear that? Satan and all of Satan's agents, do you hear me what I'm saying? I love God, and I don't care if I die or if bad things happen to me. So I want you to shine. I want you to say it out loud. No, I don't want to. Just take away this hardship so that I don't have to cross the widest sea or climb any mountains. I just want to sit over here in my cubicle and be quiet. Really? God's not going to take away your chance to shine. This is it. You were born for this. Rise to the occasion. Are you asking him to do those things for others? Like, oh, Lord, I really love my children, so don't let them suffer because I certainly want them to be weaklings, so don't prune them. I want them to be wayward, so don't chasten them. I want them to lose their chance to shine for you. I don't want them to be heroes, so please just give my children a nice, easy life, right? Our template prayer. Lord, please give Johnny a nice, easy life and lots of good things. That's all I want you to do for my son. Are you asking God to do that? Really? You can't. You can't believe that a nice, good God is going to do that. So you say, okay, well, God wants to say yes to me, and I want him to say yes to me. What's going on when he doesn't say yes to me just to do things in the way I want him to? These are the things that are going on. Kiss the lips that speak hard truths. Kiss the hand that holds the rod. Kiss the feet sent for your pruning. Kiss the face of God. You don't have to resent that he doesn't answer your prayer when you want it, just the way you want it. So don't get disillusioned, because everybody who asks gets something nice. You're going to get a fraction of what you want right now. Some fraction of it. It might be the peace of God that passes understanding. It might be grace which is sufficient. It might be obtaining mercy and finding grace to help of some kind that's a little different than what you wanted. But fractionally, you're going to get something right now. And if you prayed 100 times today, fractionally, you will get 100 somethings from God. Some sort of grace, some sort of mercy, some sort of little benefit. Every single time. I mean, if you ever get that, you're going to really want to pray. If you think, really, everyone who asks receives? Well, then I definitely want to be an asker. And if I don't get precisely what I want, when I want it, the way I want it, I'm going to keep asking because I'm getting fractionally something that's very nice. Eventually, Ephesians 3:20 describes it this way, to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, can be growing the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Eventually, you're going to get so much more than you're asking for. You know, the problem isn't just that we don't imagine what God wants to do. The problem is we can't. It's above all that we ask or think. Not only have we failed to imagine it, we cannot imagine it. So fractionally, you get something now when you pray. And ultimately, you get something above all that you could ever ask or think. I love Abby Smith. She died in 2013 from a terrible cancer, and she was only 24 years old. She was sick all through 2012 and 2013. And in November of 2013, she died in December. So in November of 2013, she wrote this, actually did a video diary. And she says, and so, by the way, she has already almost died. And she rallied back and was able to do this little video testimony. She said, I thought a lot about why God hasn't healed me or heard my prayers and the prayers of thousands, literally thousands of people praying for me. I think he's just been showing me that miracles are a shadow of what's to come. A miracle's just a temporary fix. And I don't know exactly why things are happening the way they are, but he's giving me so much peace about it. And I know he loves me without a doubt, he loves me. And I don't have to have a miracle to know that. So you see what's happening with her prayers? She didn't get the healing that thousands of people were praying for, but look what she got. She got this like supernatural peace. Her weakness was made into strength. She obtained mercy and found grace to help in her time of need. I mean, she definitely got something. It's just a little different than what everybody was actually voicing in their prayer. So here's the lesson. Life-changing lesson. God always wishes to say yes to the prayers of his children. And now you know that God does want to say yes. And now you can pray with cheerfulness, a prayer of faith in the love of God. Maybe not faith that the Lord is going to do it just the way you want it in just a time. But absolute faith, like really, really big faith in the love of God who groans for you in the person of the Holy Spirit, who does not fail to be touched with the feeling of your infirmity in the person of God the Son, and who loves to give good gifts to his children in the person of God the Father. Does it matter to you when you're dying, when you need to be rescuing, being rescued, that God is busy? He's working for you. Don't be discouraged. You can do this, and he'll help you do it. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Today, before we go home, I want to give everybody a chance to do that, because everyone who asks receives. So let's take a moment and you pray about whatever you want to pray right now, because if you pray for something, I know you're going to get something nice. So I'll give you a moment to do that right now.